and go to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, if you will. Thank you, Rosalind. I appreciate that. And if you will, take your Bibles and the book of Psalms. And, you know, it's the Thanksgiving time of the year. I appreciate those testimonies and things that were shared. And, you know, we can always find, even in whatever circumstances of life is going on, things that we can be thankful for and appreciative of. And I would even say to you that even with all this coronavirus, and there is much to be thankful for this year, and I know it's been a year of faith in a lot of ways. Never in all my years of Christianity have I ever seen churches shut down like they did during this situation, and we have been blessed beyond measure, this local assembly, this church, and God has brought us through this year. And so we count our blessings. There's a lot of churches that have struggled. Again, I read a thing, article the other day that said coming out of this coronavirus, there's a lot of churches that are not going to make it for whatever reason. Their attendances, people are just not back yet, or they've been affected financially, and different things. And, you know, like Rosalind said, I'm thankful, and I know our staff is thankful. We've been able to navigate and to get through this year. And we got a lot of great people and a great congregation, and I really appreciate everybody being faithful to the Lord through challenging times. Here's something for you to pray about. And I did talk, you know, we've talked about it a little bit. You never know when things like this are going to come along and so one of the things that we need to pray about and think about, now we don't live stream our services. We don't, you know, we're not on the radio, we're not on TV, we don't, we're not on Facebook Live, or we're not on YouTube or whatever, but we have gotten requests along the way from time to time. You know, we've got a lot of our people that have not been able to make it back to church yet for whatever reason. One of the things that come up in a conversation here the other night in one of our deacons' meetings is, you know, it'd be nice if we can figure out a way to better minister to all of our congregation, even those that would like to be here but couldn't be here for whatever reason. So anyway, we're gonna revisit that again. Brother Larry Kendall, I know, has done some homework on that. We've got, I know Ron Newsom's nephew, Mark, has been involved in getting us some research on that. One of Larry Kendall's relatives, Larry's been working a lot of hours at GM. He worked 72 hours, I think, last week at GM. But I talked to him after the morning service, and I just asked him, I said, you know, we probably need to revisit that and resurface that and think about that. You know, what's best for our congregation? Do we want to live stream it? Do we want an online presence? You know, you can go to the website, the church website, and you can get the previous Sunday's message. Haley uploads that to the website, and so the message is on there for the previous Sunday morning and that. But there's other options that we have. You pray about it, think about it. If you have any input, we'd appreciate your input on that. I do think this, no matter what kind of an online or streaming presence or whatever you have, that the Bible is still true. We still need to congregate as a congregation, and it's important for fellowship. And the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together in Hebrews 10:25. So I think it's important that we come together, and I think one of the things that I as a pastor would have a concern about is that coming out of this, that, you know, it'd be real easy to stay home, just watch something on TV, get a Bible message here, some music here, and not plug in. But you know what? We need each other in the body of Christ. We need fellowship together. Acts 2, verse 42 to verse 47. There's a reason why churches are local and why they congregate together and why they gather together for prayer and fellowship. So it's important. But we also live in a world that's advancing in technology, and so we're just trying to figure out what's the best fit. I know when I got saved, the church that I attended when I got saved, the Mansfield Baptist Temple, Mansfield, Ohio, we had a thing on the back wall up there on the high up on the back wall of the sanctuary, and it was a box and had a red light, and it just simply said, on the air. And we went live every Sunday. Our church started at 11 o'clock, and 11:15, that red light come on, and the whole sanctuary, and we probably had 800, 1,000 people in there on most Sundays, knew that at 8:15 we were live on the air in Central Ohio with a live broadcast of what the morning worship services are all about. And so at 12 o'clock, that light went out immediately. I mean, even if the worship leader or the pastor was right in the middle of something, boom, at 12 o'clock, that's what you paid for, and you were off the air at 12. So what that does is that puts the worship leader and the pastor or the speaker, whoever it is, on a real tight timeline. It's pretty hard to ad lib on things, and you know. So I'm not saying we should go to a radio broadcast. I'm just saying pray about it and seek the Lord's wisdom. If you have any input, we appreciate your input, suggestions, ideas on any of that. What would be a blessing and a help to our congregation, and then also too as an evangelistic tool, going forward from here. So you don't hear many churches being on the radio much anymore days, but there are so many other things that are out there that we live in a different world for sure. Let's take our Bibles then, if you will, as we said in Psalm. We're going to take a look at these Psalms. This is the week of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving will be Thursday. I trust you have a great Thanksgiving day. I know the with the direction of our governor, there's been a lot of stipulations put on Thanksgiving. And just be safe in whatever you're doing. I trust you enjoy the holiday with whoever you're with, if you're by yourself or if you're with somebody or family members, and that you enjoy. So there is much to be thankful for. These Psalms right in here in this category, really Psalm 135 down to Psalm 139, is really what the Bible calls Psalms of Thanksgiving. And Psalms of Thanksgiving are given here in the Bible for a lot of different reasons. I thought I would just kind of highlight some of these tonight, that we would take a look at it, because I think by looking at these Psalms here that we can glean from them a lot of things that we can be thankful for, a lot of things that we can praise the Lord for. For example, when you look at Psalm 135, Psalm 135 is a song of praise, but it talks about God's wonderful works and about nature. And how many of you looked out there today and saw that white snow out there and said, God, thank you. What a blessing from heaven. One, two? I did. Maybe three. It's all right. The rest of you will repent of your sin a little bit and get right with the Lord. But, that is heaven sent. Amen? And just as it is when you wake up on a sunny day and it's 85 degrees sunny and nice, not a cloud in the sky, God sends that. God also sent what we got today. And when you look around nature and you see in the beauty of it all, it really is. And so let's look at this psalm here, Psalm 135. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise him. O ye servants of the Lord, Psalm 135, verse 2. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord and in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. And sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. I don't know about you, but the worship services here and the music and all the musicians and all the praise team and Rosalind and Ron and Wendy and Dave and Paul and all of them that had a part in it, Joan and on and on. Anybody that has a part, Sarah playing that, I always appreciate so much those that God has given the ability of music, and we come into his house to praise his name. And verse 4, for the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. Talking about the nation of Israel now. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. You might circle that right there in verse 5. Our Lord is above all gods. And I put Exodus 20 in verse 1 right there, because that's the first of the great commandments. And that's the commandment that God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So it's a recognition of the Ten Commandments. And then in verse 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth and in seas and all deep places. And again, you see in this verse, I think, the sovereignty of God, and knowing that God is all supreme, God is all powerful. And whatsoever the Lord pleased, it's not what you and I please, it's what he pleases. This weekend, we saw it pleased the Lord to be taking Harold Sharp home to be with him. And so this week, we'll gather together and rejoice and celebrate and share Harold's life. And the blessing of being able to know to him. So all that's done in heaven pleases the Lord, and here in earth. Now, when you look at that, my friend, you got to be able to say that God is still God, and God is still on the throne. So I don't know how much you follow any of the election process and all that's going on. The only thing I could say is God knows all about all that. Whatever's going on, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and it doesn't change. The Lord understands. God raises up and allows sometimes different people to come to office and to accomplish his certain purposes. So I don't know how all this is going to play out. But don't get too caught up in that. Yeah, we need to be concerned. Yes, we need to be interested. Yes, we need to vote. Yes, we need to be a part of citizens of the United States of America. But don't let it be your all and in all. And you may not like this or like that or whatever. But keep in mind here that God is still in control. And as in heaven and in earth and the seas and all the deep places, he causes the vapors, it says in verse 7, to ascend from the ends of the earth. And he maketh lightnings for the rain. and he bringeth the wind out of his treasures. I can't help but read this verse and think of my father, because my dad, if a storm was blowing in central Ohio, my dad, most people would close the doors to the house front and back, close the garage door, get everything in, get it off the patio, and go in and hunker down and wait on the storm to go through. Not at our house. Our house was different. It was, hey, Rick, go get the lawn chairs. Open the garage door. We're going to sit out here, and we're watching this thing blow in. I mean, even if it was tornadoes or whatever, we had a basement, and we could try to get there pretty fast. But my dad was one of those guys. He wanted to sit out there. He wanted to see it. He wanted to see the lightning and the storms and even the tornadoes and the rain and the, you know, look at all of God's creation and and what he gives here. So he maketh the lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasury. So think about that. Boy, I'll tell you what, we had some windy days the other day. And then he said here, he smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, and who sent tokens and wonders in the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings. Shion, king here of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for an heritage unto Israel's people. And thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, Israel. He will repent himself concerning his servants. Remember, God said that he had repented that he had made them, but yet still Israel is the apple of God's eye. And it says here, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold and the works of men's hands. We just studied that about Diana, went over in Ephesus and the great goddess Diana, and down through the years and centuries how people have made idols and false gods and things out of silver and gold. And we see that even back in the days of Moses and that. And even yet today, he said, they have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. And by the way, in verse 18, there are many that trust in these false gods. You just got to travel around, run into people, and go to different countries and see the false gods and the idols that are worshipped made out of gold, silver, whatever it is. And people bow down to these things and worship them. So verse 18, they make unto them, so is everyone that trusted them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. That's the Levitical tribe, the tribe of Levi, of which Aaron and Moses were a part of. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. And blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth in Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. So this whole psalm here is really a psalm of mercy, a psalm of wonderful works, a psalm of nature, a psalm of a little bit of Israel's history. I don't know about you, but it concerns me, and that I just, you know, that that some of our American history is being challenged and wants to be deleted and wants to be taken down from all the monuments and all the things in America. You can remove whatever you want out here in the landmarks of the land, but the history is the history. But now if they're going in and changing history books and wanting to change this and change that, and, you know, I think America has a rich heritage and a rich Judeo-Christian heritage. There's been many. Has it all been right? No, we are, you know, was founded on a revolution. And so, you know, when you think about our American history, I think America has a great and rich and very valuable history. And so I don't know about you, but I'd be one to be in favor of keep our history intact, keep everything intact, and to realize who we are as a people and come together in unity and harmony. So the history here is recorded in a psalm of thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but every time I leave this country and come back into it, I feel like I could kiss the ground that you're walking in and just thank God for the USA. And if you've ever been out of here and been to some other country, when they let you back in, it's still the greatest country in the world. And so I'd rather be no other place than right here in the great USA. And if there's one thing that I know that President Trump brought forth right in America was, you know, the heritage, the proud of being an American citizen and the pride that we should have in America. And how you really appreciate that, I think, is get out of the country, go somewhere else and visit, and then come back and then see what you got right here. So they had a rich heritage. But the vapors and the lightnings and the winds and the miracles and all that goes on, that's of the Lord. So Psalm 135 is a great psalm of thanksgiving. Now, when you get into Psalm 136, it really is kind of an expansion of Psalm 135. But it's talking about God and his mighty works of creation. Look at it in Psalm 136 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, this verse here, you might underline it or look at it or make note of it. I think it's 26 times, if I count them right, where it says, His mercy endureth forever all the way through this psalm. You'll notice it here. Verse 2, Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him alone doth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. You ever think about the lights that God has given to us? I mean, even the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the lights, and all the creation, and God had put all that in place. The sun to rule by the day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. And to Him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, His mercy endureth forever. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever, and made Israel a pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. And to Him which led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. And to Him which smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for His mercy endureth forever. Shion, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for His mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for a heritage, for His mercy endureth forever. And even a heritage unto Israel's servant, for His mercy endureth forever. And who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever. And who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever, and give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. What a great psalm you think about. You think the writer of that psalm was trying to get across a message of God's mercy and kindness endureth and here endureth forever. I often think, I don't know about you, but to me it's always a joy to be able to watch just God in nature and to see how He feeds and takes care of all the things that He has created and put in place. Did you ever watch a squirrel gather nuts and get ready for winter? I love watching that. Or you ever watch the birds as they come? And my wife and I this year, earlier in the year, put out a bird feeder. And the challenge is, in the area where we live, is to keep the squirrels and the raccoons from it. And it's a fight to the finish to be able to do that. So we fought that battle for months on end, and then the raccoons come, and so they are amazing creatures, and be able to watch and to see all that. And yet I think, the God's time frame, and to see, I've looked on some of those days, and I look at those squirrel nests up there, and I think, how in the world can they stay out there in the middle of all that and survive? I mean, I've seen some pretty nasty weather. Where do the animals go? And yet God, and being the creator God that He is, feeds all the wildlife and feeds all the things that are out there and takes care of them, and just to watch His handiwork. So God is mighty in His works of creation. God is mighty also in His dealings with the nation of Israel. We see that here. And that is still true. It'll be interesting to see as we go forward our relationship with Israel. It's interesting to see now with this new peace agreement that we have with the United Emirates and with over in the Middle East and all that's going on with the nation of Israel. And will the American policy, will any of that change? How will that affect the Middle East? And God is dealing, and God knows exactly what God's doing. We just got to learn to trust Him that even in the Middle East, that His dealings with the nation of Israel, God is on the throne, and His mercy does endure forever. So this psalm right here was sung at Passover time, and if you were in the temple during the time of the Passover, was one of the favorite hymns that were sung during Passover. His mercy, God's mercy, endureth forever. And we can see that over in 1 Chronicles and over in 2 Chronicles 7, and then over in the book of Ezra, we can see it there. Notice in Psalm 137, though, when you there's only 9 short verses here, but you notice in this psalm of thanksgiving, it now kind of shifts gear to the captivity. And it's good to understand biblical captivity because there's 3 captivities. And I always look at the captivity in the Bible as being, in God's, God has a perfect plan. God also has a permissive plan. And why the captivity? Why did God allow or permit the captivity? Well, it really fell to the sin of Israel. And because they disobeyed with God and they walked after other gods and they didn't obey the Lord, so God then allowed a foreign power to rise up and to take them captive. And there were three foreign powers in the Old Testament. One is the Assyrian army. And so there came a time in the Bible where the Assyrian army come in and marched upon Israel and took Israel captive. And that went on for several years, and it's great reading Bible history about the Assyrian captivity. Then the Babylonian captivity. That was during the time of the prophets that we know as Daniel and Jeremiah and some of them during that time. And then after that was the Medes, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Persian Empire. And that. So there are three major captivities. So this psalm, when you read this, is really a psalm about the captivity and the Babylonian. Notice it refers to Babylon here. Said, by the rivers of Babylon, which would be over the Euphrates, there we sat down, yea, and we wept when we remembered Zion. Now, try to get your mind around that verse. If you were taken into captivity, let's just say, assume right here in America, and a foreign power come in and took you captive and took you out of here and took you to another nation. I don't know about you, but I think we would all cry and weep for America. Here they, at this point, they wept for Zion and Jerusalem. And notice it says in verse 2, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. It's kind of like their song had been taken away from them. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and that wasted required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forgot thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed. Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. You know, we read about this and we look at it in the Bible during the times of the captivity. And go over and spend some time reading the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah in the Bible was known as the weeping prophet. And by that meaning, why so? Because of the captivity and because of all that was going on. You remember that? And go over and read and study the book of Nehemiah, about Nehemiah and coming back and rebuilding the walls. And there's some great Bible lessons and great Bible application over during that time. It'd be a horrible time in a lot of ways to live, to suffer through the captivity. And yet God dealt with the nation of Israel through that. So this psalm deals with exiles, Israel, being in exile in a foreign land, longing to go home, longing to go back home where they belong. And then there was retribution for those that took them captive. Assyria would have to pay a price. Babylon would pay a price. All the kings and the leaders, Nebuchadnezzar and those that took them captive. So if you really think about it, in some ways, it's not really a psalm of thanksgiving, but it's a psalm that's grouped here in these thanksgiving psalms. But the counterpart to this psalm is back in Psalm 126. Let me show it to you. So if you go to Psalm 126, so this Psalm 126 was written after they got back home from Babylon. How would you feel if you were taken into captivity and then you were able to go back home to your homeland, to be back in your home country? Well, here's how Israel felt, Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again, the captivity of Zion, so now they're going back home. We were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Yeah, after they went through the captivity, God did some great things. And the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south, that they sow in tears shall reap in joy. There's a good verse for you. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again and with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So this song here, psalm in Psalm 126, is really a song of rejoicing as they return back from captivity and come back, and they're rejoicing in the Lord of how good God is in bringing them back to the land. And so it's written after they got back home from Babylon, and it's full of thanks and thanksgiving. Psalm 138 is a short verse. I think we made reference to this two or three Sunday nights ago, so won't spend a lot of time here. But notice this psalm here in Psalm 138 is really an answer to prayer. And this psalm is written by David. Interesting. He said, "I'll praise thee with my whole heart," David said. "Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward the holy temple. Praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with the strength of my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, and they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord." This just sounds like David. Sounds like the way David writes. "And though the Lord be high," in verse 6, "and yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble," David says, "well, thou wilt revive me, and wilt thou stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever, and forsake not the works of thy own hands." So this psalm written by David is really an answer to prayer. And I don't know about you, but David is just one of the greatest, I think, of all Bible characters in all the Bible. And, you know, years ago I had people ask me, said, "You think David will be in heaven?" I mean, if you think about it, I mean, he committed adultery and then committed murder, and he had a lot of blood on his hands and was a soldier and a warrior. And I guess after reading Psalm 51, and he repents of his sin and that, if David's not in heaven, I don't know that there's much chance you and I will make it. So yes, my answer would simply be David's in heaven. And David in the Bible is a man after God's own heart, meaning that, you know, when you look at David's life, interesting Bible character, he wasn't perfect by no means. He got caught up in lust. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time, shouldn't have been where he was at doing what he was doing, but he did. And just also goes to show you in the Bible that if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time and give in, any person can succumb to temptation and can get tripped up by the devil. The devil is powerful and goes about to and fro seeking whom he may devour, and that would include you and I, it would include David here. So yes, you know, when you think about Peter, you know Peter denied the Lord and that just before, you know, he was to be crucified and that. So yes, David, what an answer to prayer here. And then the last one we're going to look at here tonight is Psalm 139. And this is God's universal presence. And God is universally present. He's present everywhere. His knowledge is infinite. It said in verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me. Again, I really believe this psalm too is written by David. And it said, "Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my," notice this now, "thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off." Now think about that. God knows what you're thinking about. And so there's nothing that you can hide from the Lord. "Thou compassest my path and my lying down," David said, "and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue," David said, "but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." Boy, how true is that? The sovereignty of God. God knows even our tongue, even the intents of our heart and our mind. "Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit," David says in verse 7, "or whether shall I flee from thy presence?" Notice this now, David. You ever see somebody running from God? Jonah tried that. Didn't work out too well. Different ones in the Bible tried running from God. That doesn't work out. You try to run from the Lord. David said here, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins," David said, "and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." And interesting, is it not? When does life, you know, I read a thing the other day. When does life begin? Does it begin at conception? And, you know, this one of the hotbed issues still in our society today is abortion. And today, I really believe, you know, and the Bible teaches clearly that there is life. That baby that's in the womb is very much alive in a human being, and they can feel, and they have, you know, it's a real person that's there. And that's why this thing on abortion is such a big issue. And it says that if thou hast covered me in thy mother's womb, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wow, what What a powerful verse. Marvelous are thy works that thy soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thy eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which is continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none by them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Wow, what a great verse in verse 17. You know, to do that, you got to get alone with the Lord. Have your devotions. Get alone in creation. Get alone with God. And God will reveal himself to you and show himself. And how precious, David said, are thy thoughts, are God's thoughts unto him, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them? Here's a good verse for you. Love what God loves and hate what God hates. Amen? And if you'll do that, if you'll take that simple philosophy in life, just love what God loves and hate what God hates, that's a pretty good philosophy in life. And so here, David always hated that which is evil, that which is ungodly. And he said, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred, he says here. And I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So, I mean, David was not elevating himself, and David knew he was a sinner. Read Psalm 51, it'll tell you that. But he said, God, hear, search my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. So David was a man. God knows our every thought, our every being. God knows our every word. God knows our every act, and nothing is hid from the Lord. And verse 24, what a great verse, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So great psalms of thanksgiving. So you want something to be thankful for? Here, you know, the application is in Psalm 135 to 139 is these psalms of thanksgiving that even in times of Assyrian or Babylonian or the Medo-Persian Empire in captivity, Israel found things to thank the Lord for. Sometimes, you know, challenges come and, you know, I don't know. I mean, if you think about it, I saw the thing the other day that said, coronavirus, blessing or curse? Think about that in the world that we live in. Is God sending his judgment across the land? There's a lot of things I don't, you know, we can think about, don't have answers for, and that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out. I know Pfizer and Moderna, whatever, is coming out here with a vaccine, and you know, there's a lot of question about all that. You know, what's 2021 going to hold? You know, supposedly here by the end of December, they're going to have vaccines out. I know Pfizer's a larger pharmaceutical company. You know, you talk to your doctors. I know my doctor told me, he said, when they come out with a vaccine, Rick, you should take it. You know, I've got my kids telling me, my kids are telling me, I'm not so sure about that, Dad. And they're not so ready to stand in line, take the vaccine. I said, well, I guess you're going to have to sort through that with your own family doctor and what's right and what's best. And, you know, so when you think about that, the world that we live in, you know, is it blessing or judgment? Is it, you know, I do know whatever it is going on, God is bringing us closer and closer to his soon return, and he's coming back. And so keep your eyes. We preach this morning. Our stewardship is to invest in the Lord's work still, that no matter what happens, you serve the Lord all the way faithfully through till he comes back. And I have no idea when that's going to be. We just need to be faithful to him. And be thankful to him that God is on the throne and God is in control and God doeth all things right. So what a great psalm. We see in these psalms the sovereignty of God and much to be thankful for. Keep your eye focused on the right thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. God, we are a people that are thankful and appreciative. God, we pray for the nation of Israel tonight. Keep them safe. God, we know the apple of your eye, and God, that you'll bless the nation of Israel and bless the nations that bless Israel and curse the nations that curse Israel. And so, God, today we know the power and the forces of evil and good are at battle, and there's principality against principality and spiritual against spiritual and good against evil around the world. So, God, today we pray today that we would align ourselves with you and that no matter what happens, we remain faithful to you, faithful to that which you love. and we would hate that which you hate. So God, may we always do right. May we always have the love of Christ in our hearts. May we share with others. And especially, what a great opportunity during Thanksgiving. Although many times maybe our homes and families will be more limited this year with all that's going on. But God, may we love those around us, and may we let them know that. And Father, may our family and friends keep each and everyone safe this week. And especially be with Joyce and Mike and Vicky this week as we celebrate Brother Harold's life. What a faithful, dedicated Christian all these years. And God, it'll be a privilege to be able to be a part of that service this week. And just be with all of our church family now and have your hand upon all that we do, God. And we'll be sure to give you the praise tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to see you. Be careful. Be